So if now we have to move on, what we are seeing in the region is, you know, in Libya, it's now very serious. No one could have predicted that it could happen there, because we know how much he's tough and he's very ready to kill the people in the name. And he was the first one to say to Ben Ali, you should have stayed until the end of your life, and this was a blessing for your country. So we know how he is on that, and it's still happening there. In Bahrain, we have also uprisings and protests. We have this in Mauritania. We had it in Yemen. It's now around. So how do you see the future? Do you think that this could be really the starting point of something which is a tremendous change in the Arab world?
Well, I think we can certainly say it has been momentous in Egypt and Tunisia. And Libya is far more concerning because, as you point out, there's far more violence happening every day in the last, certainly the last 3 days. And that is deeply worrying. Reports of the Libyans using their own fighter jets against their population, heavy weapons used against civilian protests. You know, there could be a point in Libya where the government's willingness to use extreme amounts of force will simply drown out any ability of protest, because it's simply, you know, going up against a sort of a huge power in the form of the state security forces. So I think Libya is a huge test, really, because, I mean, you look at the difference between the Western-supported regimes that seem to be far more sort of forced by their external patronage somewhat to make concessions to these crowds, whereas Libya does not have that same level of reliance. BP's pulling out today, as is the British foreign diplomatic teams, as others will do as well. And it'd be interesting to see, once they don't have that level of checks and balances externally, whether they'll feel fit to simply annihilate levels of their population till this thing blows over.
Yeah, so let us talk about us now. You know, you have been covering this. I have been asked to talk, I don't know how many lectures I gave on that, and something which was quite clear. And it's not usual when you speak about, you know, the Arab world, the Muslim majority countries, and say, this was the time during the, you know, this is a time during the last few days and weeks that when you speak, you feel that we agree on the fundamentals. It's about democracy. It's about freedom. We want what you also want: the same values, the same principles, equality, freedom, and dignity. So this is where, you know, from where I was speaking, you feel that, okay, there is here a connection. This is something that we are sharing. From where you are, as a journalist, but also as someone who is living in the UK, a citizen, what should be our responsibility? We can just sit down and observe, okay, it's happening there, but I think that we have a responsibility. What could be our responsibility as people looking at these individuals living in the West or living in any other country towards this, you know, uprisings and supporting the principles that they are trying to share?
Well, I think you're exactly right. I think there's no room for this sort of double standard anymore, that democracy and freedom is great for us, but clearly unsuitable for other people. I think it's a fantastic moment. I mean, people are comparing it, I think, somewhat realistically to the sort of the fall of the Soviet Union, the end of the Cold War for this particular region. And I think as people, we should do our very best to support that. And I think as governments,
practically speaking.
Well, I mean, ultimately, we articulate our relationship to this country through our government's actions rather than through necessarily our individual actions.
Yes.
I mean, bear in mind, the
situation
in these countries was an elephant in the room. British holidaymakers were having great times in the Sharm el-Sheikh without any awareness of the poverty in the slums of Cairo. They just simply didn't know. But now there's no
they
excuse
didn't know?
For that. Well, I think they didn't know, or they weren't willing to look into it enough.
Yes.
I don't think they did, to be honest. And I think, you know, today we have to look to our governments to represent the free ethics that we have. And in this case, it is a case of supporting these freedoms. And I think we've made some movement in that right direction in terms of changing our export license controls and the fact that in Bahrain, potentially British tear gas and crowd control equipment was used against the protesters. You see the fact that it was in Tahrir Square, it was American-made M1A1 Abraham tanks that were standing idly by on the corner of the square, not used, but imagine if they had been used. The point was that the West is very much there, very much part of this
yes.
story.
Yes.
And as governments, I think people have to make sure. I mean, David Cameron's the first Western leader to go to Egypt today.
Yes.
And I think it'd be very interesting to hear what he has to say in terms of making sure that the commitment that the British government that has in terms of reflecting its peoples.
But it could be also something that we have been repeating, that instead of telling us that in Britain multiculturalism is failing, it's just to take this as exactly the opposite. Look, these people, they are Muslim, and this is what we are sharing. So use your citizens just to come with the common voice and the common values that we have, that we want democracy in the Arab world. It's as if we are always dealing with two different realities, and we don't look at our own people. And I think that for the Western Muslims, there is a great deal of responsibility here to be very much vocal, much more vocal, and support this movement by saying, this is what we at the end of the day, what is going to happen there will have a tremendous impact on us here on many levels, immigration and education and development. Mm-hmm. And I don't see enough vocal presence here in the West. So if you have to get just quite quickly, mm-hmm. the two first steps, what do you think we have to do in order to help these mm-hmm. revolutions to succeed?
Well, I think the first thing is very obvious. Get out of the way. If we are in the way at all when it comes to the movement of these people, whether it's supplying the governments with oppressive equipment or diplomatic and economic support that allows them to maintain their rule, then I think we can't really justify that any longer. I think we have to be very clear about that. We should not be getting in the way of these people's freedoms coming as they are on a day-to-day basis across the region. That's the first thing. I think the second thing is we have to be far more obvious about our narrative. Tell people where we stand as governments. We don't just issue kind of pithy press statements from the Foreign Office saying we're deeply concerned. Let's be up in front about our support to the uprising against things that were never sustainable and should never have been supported for so long.
Which unfortunately didn't come from European countries.
Not yet.
You think it will come?
Well, it's fence-sitting. I think as soon as they see there's a winner, they're more likely to back them.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I think that this discussion is important, and first to understand what happened. It's not coming from nowhere. There are objective factors that are explaining why the people are saying no to the government, and anyone who studied the situation in Tunisia and Egypt would have known that this was to explode, and this was a very difficult situation for the people. And then what is important is also to stand by our own principles and to be vocal about this and to say we are supporting the people, because at the end of the day what they want is dignity and freedom. And what you are saying is that as we have a general trend to try also to understand that we have to study every country case per case, because what is happening in Libya and people being killed and the violence which did not happen in Egypt is also telling something about the different regimes and the different relationships sometimes they have with the West, because the pressure of the West, the positive pressure that we have seen in some countries is not going to happen in others. And then at the end of the day also from where we are to be involved in the discussion and to ask our governments, our Western governments, to be consistent with our own values. It's democracy for us, democracy for all, and it means to be on the side of the people and to take a stand which is more clear than what we got over the last few weeks with the silence of European voices on this. Not yet, as it was said, hoping that it will come. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here's the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programmes. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programmes, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, James Denslow. Thank you so much for this. I think that your view from where your knowledge and what you are bringing in the discussion is helpful for all of us. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.